The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. There was a scholar of the law who stood up to test Jesus and said, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" He said in reply, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your being, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." Jesus replied to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live." But because he wished to justify himself, he said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man fell victim to robbers as he went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. They stripped and beat him and went off, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down that road, but when he saw him, he passed by on the opposite side. Likewise, a Levite came to the place, and when he saw him, he passed by on the opposite side. But a Samaritan traveler who came upon him was moved with compassion at the sight. He approached the victim, poured oil and wine over his wounds, and bandaged them. Then he lifted him up on his own animal, took him to an inn, and cared for him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper with the instruction, 'Take care of him. If you spend more than what I have given you, I shall repay you on my way back.' Which of these 3, in your opinion, was neighbor to the robber's victim?" He answered, "The one who treated him with mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." The Gospel of the Lord. There's a contemporary wisdom quote that says, "Charity begins at home." There's some truth to that, no? But in today's famous parable, the parable of the Good Samaritan, Jesus turns things upside down and surprises us. The word neighbor means someone who's near. And so the word charity begins at home makes sense. But it's in the details of this parable that sometimes we're so used to the word Good Samaritan that we miss it. Because the Samaritan people at the time were looked down poorly by the Jewish people. They are the people who let go and leave the God of Israel to follow the God of the oppressors. So they're considered traitors, heretics. So if Jesus would tell this parable today, instead of the Good Samaritan, he would say, the good drug dealer or the good terrorist. Doesn't sound weird to us? Because it is. Because in this parable, in this story, Jesus tells us, he expands their idea at the time and our idea what a neighbor is and what a good neighbor is. Because for us, we think it's people we are friends to, people in our family, people in our various associations, school, politics, ideology, church. But Jesus blows it open when talking about the Samaritan. In fact, the people in the Jewish culture who are supposed to take care of the downtrodden priests or lawyers. But both of these people like what I do and you do, we saw people we don't like, we do the salad shuffle and we get over there and we get to the other side. Or I drive down the freeway and I see a homeless person and I just, nope, pass it. It's embarrassing to acknowledge this. But one time when I was a Jesuit novice, we didn't have much money. I had $2.50. And this homeless man asked me for some coffee. You know what I had the audacity to tell him? He has $250. Make sure you don't spend it on drugs. And even now, I tend not to give money to homeless people because it's not the best way. I try to take them to McDonald's or fast food, but that's rare because I'm so busy in life. To the point, I don't even see these people. People who I or some of us think they're lazy. What's wrong with them? They're mental. What's wrong with them? So this parable hits home hard. Because Jesus says the neighbor is anyone in genuine need, near or far. Anyone in genuine need, near or far. And then Jesus even says, answer the question that's not even asked. Because the original question of the scribe, the lawyer, is this: how do I gain eternal life? And Jesus quotes Deuteronomy, the first reading. Love your God with all your heart, all your mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. That is the heart of the law. That is the great good news. And then this smart aleck lawyer, like me sometimes, tell me how. And Jesus tells how. Your neighbor are those you considered drug dealers, homeless, terrorists. But even how, if you notice, sometimes we know the story a lot, we miss the details. The details are important. What's in the detail? The Good Samaritan does three things to this man who was beaten by life. What does he do first? He addressed the wound, right? He poured oil, ointment, and wine. He embalms, he takes care of the wound. And then what does he do? He puts the man in a place of safety, the victim, in an inn. And then he asked the innkeeper, because he was busy, he had to be on his way, he says this, would you continue to take care of this person? And here are some of my funds I'm willing to share. Very thoughtful, very conscientious, very concrete care. But we do help people. We call it charity. We write a check, or we do some nice things, but we don't do what Pope Francis says. And Pope Francis asked this, when you give alms to the poor, do you chunk at them? Do you look at them? Do you shake the hand? Do you smile? Do you have a contact with the person? Because you know what Pope Francis says even more? Like the second reading. They are the face of Christ right now, so near. Sure, the way I see and the way you see, riffraff, no gooder, it's their fault. Why don't they do better? But in the second reading, Jesus in all things. He makes peace in all things. He's in all people. So what Pope Francis encourages us to do is encounter Jesus in the person in need. That's really hard. But that's the church that Pope Francis calls us to. Let me quote him. I dream of a church that is a mother and a shepherdess. A church that is like a field hospital after battle. It is useless to ask a seriously injured person if he has high cholesterol or about his level of blood sugar. You have to heal his wounds. Then we can ask about everything else. Heal the wounds, heal the wounds. Start from the ground. Before I ask the homeless man, I just ask him, are you going to spend that money on drugs? Because I assume he was spending money on drugs. and even ask him, and even look at him, because I had my way of wanting to help. I didn't pay attention to his genuine need. It's hard. It's hard because life is so busy. We program our kids' lives so much that we're so busy, and they're so busy. And then we have our own wounds. And we're so busy with our own wounds, with our own preoccupations, that we can't even see the others. Because we're wounded ourselves. And so to be a church, to build a church which is a field hospital, and we do a good job here at Holy Family. Definitely. But there's more here. Because if we want to live, just like in the gospel or in the first reading, do you want to live? Do this. But it's not that remote. It's not a pie in the sky. It's not for superhuman. It's very near to you. Do this. Pay attention to whoever is in need in front of you. Ask God if God wants you to help this person. And as thoughtfully as you can, try to reach out. Don't worry about conditions. Don't worry about if you can do A, B, and Z. Just follow right now, right near where God takes you. Let's do a 1 minute experiment. If you can, please close your eyes. And just imagine the people in your circle. And that could be people in your family, people in your workplace, people in your church, people in your groups, in your school, or even people you hear on the news. And just notice if anyone among these people who are wounded, who are marginalized, who are in serious or genuine need. At least just to try to see the person. And then ask God the simple question, Lord, do you want me to reach out to this person? How are you in this person that I might encounter you? Thank you, everyone. You can open your eyes. Maybe you're able to do this. Maybe God hasn't said anything. Maybe when we close our eyes, we see our own woundedness and I don't have it together. I'm messed up. I don't have my stuff. How can I be helping people? Well, here's the good news. It doesn't really matter. The great Henry Nouwen says that we are wounded healers. He writes so well, so I'm just going to read what he writes to close off the homily. Nobody escapes being wounded. We are all wounded people. Whether physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, or these days I would say financially. The main question is not how can we hide our wounds so we don't have to be embarrassed or ashamed. But the question is, how can we put our woundedness in the service of others when our wounds cease to be the source of shame and becomes a source of healing? We become wounded healers. Jesus is God's wounded healer. Through his wounds we are healed. Jesus' suffering and death brought joy and life. His humiliation brought glory. His rejection brought together a community of love and compassion. As followers of Jesus, we can allow our wounds to bring healing to others. It's not easy to care for people in need around us. But we have a promise of a God who has gone first, a God who hides in our own woundedness, a God who sends us to serve and in the process heals us. And we have a Pope who calls us to build a church like this. We don't have to have it together. What we can do is pay attention to people not very far, near. But near here is not so much in proximity. Near here is anyone around us, and that may include people we've read far away. But in some of these people, we can't help everyone, and we cannot. But in some of these people, God will invite us to pay attention to at least, first of all, see them in their need. Reach out, pray for them. And whatever we can do with our means, our time and our energy, sacrifice a little. So not only we help them, we can encounter the wounded healer who hides in these sisters and brothers. The Eucharist we're about to receive comes from the life-giving love of Christ on the cross. We receive the wounded healer in our very bodies when we receive communion. And even if you don't receive communion and receive a blessing, God will find a way. Yes, sisters and brothers, charity begins at home, but it reaches out in places where Christ, where the wounded healer hides, to beckon us to encounter him, to become a church of the poor, to become a church where it's a field hospital, where you and I are not only are healed, we become wounded healers. We don't need to be perfect. We don't need to be holy. We just need to pay attention to genuine needs, to ask God a simple question, do you want me to reach out and do what we can so we can all encounter the living God who wants life, greater life, for each and every one of us.